And I welcome Dr. Carolina Vigura, Professor Dr. Paolo Mancini, Shaha Edelman from Israel, and Anna Luisa Kau from Germany. Thank you very much. Be seated here, please. And I will leave you alone in a second. Just let me first raise one question to you, Carolina, because that interests me a lot. How was your experience? How were your experiences in the past days? You worked with those people you hardly knew. You had a presentation, a preparation phase online, but you saw them for the first time and then jumped into a very intense work. So how was that experience for you, and maybe what did you learn as well? And then I will leave you to the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Marina. The experience was intense. This was perhaps the best word for it. I was looking for a metaphor that would perhaps show what we've done during those days, and I ended up with a metaphor of a great German Jewish sociologist, Georg Simmel, who once wrote an essay about the door and the bridge. And you can say how much these two objects, door and bridge, are meaningful in today's environment, because we all know that going through a door means change. And we somehow, a couple of months ago, or perhaps 1 or 2 years ago, we found ourselves in a completely different world, in a new epoch in which populist is still on the surge, and we have to find answers to it. And the second object is bridge. And of course, in the world where the whole groups of people are speaking with a language which is uncomfortable for many of us or is not understood by many of us, we have to build bridges. So basically, this workshop was, for me personally, building bridges, firstly, between us and the beautiful and extremely well-prepared participants that we had, but also each day was like a building of a bridge and understanding a new context. Like, for example, on Saturday, thanks to Dr. Frank Duvel, we learned a lot about the refugees themselves. And we understood why the populists are actually posing that refugees are the enemy, and why the refugees actually are not an enemy at all. We learned that the enemy is the unspoken truth of our societies, the unspoken crisis, for example, of the labor market, et cetera, et cetera. Then on the second day, we focused on history and how it is manipulated in many radicalizing media. And also, we started to ask questions about ourselves, about how tolerant are we, and are we ready to find out answers to answer to the populist radical language. So perhaps it would be best if basically we asked the participants what they had gotten out of the workshop. And I basically would like to ask you two questions. Firstly, is there anything that you didn't know before the workshop and now you think you know it, or you changed your perspective? So the question about the door. And the question about the bridge, namely, we also thought about strategies, about how we can answer to radicalizations, hostile articulations. And can you give us your own idea, your own personal best strategy of answering? Anna Luisa, please.
So coming to your first question, what was new for me or what was surprising for me, I can say the role of history or the collective memory in our society, how it can be used or abused by radicalists and be radicalized itself and radical itself. For example, the force or the power of pictures and using famous pictures which we always connect to the history and the past, which they can, how they can impact our emotions without any words. I think this was the most impressive part of me, for me, in what I learned in our workshop. And coming to your second question, how to react. When I came to the workshop or I applied for your story, this was for me the most important part, learning how we can react to radicalism and what is our, or what should we do, and how, what's our responsibility to react to radicalization. And now for me, I think a good way is to try to understand radical people. Why are they saying such things? What is actually their situation? So do they have any private problems? For example, do they have fear the future for their children? So what is their reason for being radical? And after analyzing that, to try to make them reflect their opinion by question, to talk to them and ask them some questions, and to refer back to our opening event. The idea of the Körbe Stiftung is to talk to each other rather than about each other, and I think this is very important in connection to our workshop, because talking to radical people or radical-minded people is better than talking about them or blaming them in public, because this won't solve the problem. And so I think talking with each other is the best thing we can do.
Thank you so much, Anna Luisa. And I would like now to give the floor to Shahar.
Thank you. For the first question, I think that the most interesting thing I learned is understanding the both sides. I mean, in the first day after Professor Duvel's session, who explained why refugees are people and we have to accept them, so everyone just thought that the radical far right are simply smart enough or educated enough. If they just think more, they will understand they are wrong. But and the radicalization is always from the right. But during this workshop, this journey, we discovered that radicalization is from left and right both. For example, if you say that the far right writers are Nazis, so it is a radicalization from left. And we have to understand that nationalism is a legitimate opinion when it's not connected to violence. And this is an equation we can break, we can destruct. Nationalism and violence. You can be, we defined it as nationalism light. And this this idea that radicalization, the problem is not about the opinion themselves, but about the discourse and the language. And when you defined it, so we defined it as de-demonization. So Professor Duvels de-demonized the refugees, and one day later we have Professor Agnieszka, who de-demonized the far-right writers themselves. So I think it was very interesting. And about the second question, I think we have, in our era, the social network era, we have a Twitter syndrome, that everything has to be as short as possible. If you talk more than a minute, you are boring. And if you talk as short as possible, there is no place for complexibility. And complexibility, if you, I live in a world that things are complex, they are complicated. Nothing is oversimplification. And oversimplification is the problem. And we have to develop a deep media discourse which have place to complex opinions. That was, I think.
Thank you so much, Shahar. And I would like now to give the floor to Paolo Martini, who provided us today during our workshop a deep input into the media landscape.
Yes, I think that in face of the media landscape, and essentially in face of the new media, we have to be on one side optimistic, but also pessimistic. Optimistic, new media enlarge our possibility to get knowledge, to get news from many different sources, different and competing sources. But at the same time, competing sources, the many competing sources raise many, many, many problems. In a way, I think that we are forced to survive with both polarization and populism. Why we are forced to survive with populism and polarization? Populism, new media and legacy media, traditional media, allow people, politicians, to talk directly to the audience, to citizens, to voters. And of course, going beyond the mediation of political organization, social organization, they talk directly to people. And they use their own, the same language. That means the language of a man on the street, which is a simple, unfortunately, simple language, not a complex thing. And this means populism, in a way. Radicalization. We have many sources of information. More and more today, the different competing sources of information address what we call niche audiences, not a large mass audience, not anymore a mass audience, but many different niche audiences to which each source refers, just reinforcing the already existing ideas. And this means polarization. Because we are talking to each other as if we are in what we call echo chamber. We want in our social networks, in our web, in our blog, we want to hear the same voice we already have. And this causes a polarization of opinion. This is a risk. We have to survive with both risk, populism and polarization. But as this wonderful seminar shows, we have good students who are able to survive and to be aware of risk and the problems that the new media system and the new structure of media system raises.
Thank you all so much for those insights into your work in the workshop the past days. And a final question I have for you, and please a short answer. Why shouldn't only scientists and people working, for example, for organizations like Cultura di Varana or young, smart students deal with that topic? Why should every one of us in every society in Europe actually have an interest for radicalization, political radicalization in the media? So why is it so important, this topic, for all of us here?
You all know this theory about three handshakes, right? That we know even President Trump with three handshakes. And the same goes about people who vote for AfD, or people who vote for peace in Poland, or people who vote for Mr. Netanyahu, etc., etc. So basically what I want to say is that every one of us has someone who has been manipulated by the populists in our hearts. And the most important thing in radicalization is basically to build bridges to understand the other side, and also to use dialogue to basically present what we stand for, because it's the liberal democratic values that we stand for. And and if liberal democratic values mean dialogue, it also means presenting those values.